Oh, Lord, in our sorrow and our trials and our tragedies, Lord, that we ultimately know that you're there with us. You're helping us. You're strengthening us. And I thank you for that, Lord. I'm so thankful for that. For the things that I've gone through, for those in the congregation, the kids, thank you, Lord, for always being there. He's there for us to reach out to. Amen. Encourage you to reach out to him. I just wanted to come and share just a little message of today about the church is family. I want to speak to the church as being family. It's not the building, but it's the people that fill the building. It's you. That's the family that I'm speaking to this morning. We find in God's word about family. And I know that as we read scriptures and we hear of things of the trials and the things and the struggles we go through, the things that God brings us through, it's a testimony. And we'll find that testimony being a ministering word to someone down the road that we have not even met. Could be a year later, 10 years later, 25 years later, 30 years. I don't know. But I know what God works in us and through us and brings us through. What we learn from him in those dark hours is that we will take that and help someone else. It's kind of like pay it forward. In Hebrews, it talks about, and let us consider, Hebrews 10, 24, 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. In the New Century, it says, let us think about each other, help each other to show love and do good deeds. You should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing, but you should meet together, encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. That day coming, what they're talking about is, of course, the day Christ will come to judge all the people and take his people to live with him. But I like that in the beginning, there are parts of that where it says that we are to meet together and to encourage each other. That's the church. The church is part of that, of proclaiming the gospel, is also those that come and are part of the church, is that we are to be an encourager. We're to be a support. We're to be a help. We're to be an ear to listen. We're to be a shoulder to lean on. We're to be a hand to help reach down and reach to pull up someone that is struggling. And we do all of this with that of the love of Christ, with Christ working in us. We hope and pray that as we are a help to someone, they don't see it as that's Pastor or that's Tim or that's Paul or Linda or Dan or John, whatever. It's Christ in us, that Christ uses us. We speak about that, you know, the Bible people are going to read is you. Christ was here on this earth. He was the representation of God in the now that he's gone, we are representing him, being led by the Holy Spirit. But I hope that people see light in me. I hope they see joy in me. I hope they see comfort in me, or whatever it might be at the time it needs to be. Amen. Because God will do that type of ministry. Whatever you need at that time in that situation, that's what God is going to bring to you. We have significant privileges that come with our new life of that of being in Christ. Okay? When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's not one and done and it's done and hey, it's okay and now I'm going to just live and do what I want or whatever. We are a representation of Christ. We have personal access to God through Christ. How can I minister to people that are hurting? I have to go to God through Christ to give me the words to say, to give me the strength to say it, to give me the ability to stand with them. But it's all through that of Christ. There's no elaborate system that we have or that's required for us to gain access to God. Amen? It's a matter of fact of being a child of God through the salvation of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's not jumping hoops. It's not running a race of whatever the church puts together to say, now if you do this and this and this and this and this, you are now a Christian. You are now awarded the ability to go to heaven. You're we grant you that you are a good person. No, it's nothing that the church can do. Man can't do it. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So thank God that but there are some systems out there. There are some organizations out there that have some constraints and some things to do before they feel that you're good enough to now be a part of the family of God. We may receive encouragement from one another. Isn't it great when somebody encourages you? They see you, hey, you're looking good, or hey, you're doing better. You know, last week or two, you were struggling with this, or, you know, a new knee, a new shoulder. Hey, shoulders, knees, we got them by the... This church, I tell you. You know, we look aged on the outside, but if I could just tell you about some people that's got new appliances in them, we're young. Let me tell you. Don't let this, the snow on the roof fool you. Not that I've had anything. I'm still all original. Oh, and I felt it the other week. No. But we receive encouragement from one another. We enjoy worshiping with each other. When we gather together, we can strengthen one another in the Lord. We will face many struggles. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's count it all joy. We're going to have struggles. Yippee. But that's life. You're not going to get through this life, you know, on easy street. You're going to go through it. And if you think you can hide from it, it'll find you. But there's a way that you can get through it with that of Christ. Amen. And with that of God on your side. For who can be against you? If God is for me, ain't nobody going to be against me. They might think they are, but I will be coming or come out victorious. If I place and continue to place my trust in that of God and go to Him and ask Him to prepare the way, provide for me. But I've got to listen to Him and I've got to hear from my God. Those struggles could be spiritual, persecutions, life in general, heartaches. When we hit a difficult time in our life, that's when we need to get to church. It's when you need to get to church. We find in a sad way many times when people hit that struggle, that hard thing, boom, they turn away from God and turn into the world. What does the world have to offer you? I'm going to tell you this, it's not good. They may soothe you for a while. They can numb you for a while. They can take your mind off of it for a while. But guess what comes back? That hurt, that tragedy, that particular thing in your life. But I can tell you this, that if you come to the church, if you can come, not just to the church, but come to God and find a church that God is in, amen? And that God is leading, amen? You know, this church is a nothing built of me or whatever. It's of that of Christ. It's God working in this place for many years. Oh, how could he be working when there's so many empty chairs? He's working. Don't put your eyes on the natural things. You've got to put them and listen to what the Spirit is doing and how the Spirit is touching lives and changing lives and healing lives and filling the voids and whatever it is. That's God. But don't run from God. And I've always said this, there's a situation in your life that even a staunch Christian, one of two things, when it happens, is it'll either draw you nearer to your source of power, that of God, or you will hear the enemy, and the enemy will say, why did God allow this? You think he loves you? I wouldn't hang out with that guy. That's the devil telling you that. You ought to get away from him and just go out into the world and figure it out on your own. Anybody here tried to figure out your situations on your own for a while? You can raise your hands if you want. I mean, don't. Hey, don't let me just be the only one. I feel like I'm all by myself. It's just me. I've tried to do that. I've tried to figure it out. Fell flat on my face. Oh, I thought it was going good. And then guess what rears its head all of a sudden? Wow, I thought I dealt with that. You don't really deal with it until you deal with it with God. And allow God to take that from you, whatever that is. For he says to do what in his word? Cast thy what? Care. Sometimes our hurts are our cares. those things that we deal with, we just put it in our backpack, put it in our whatever case, our little fanny pack or whatever, and we will handle it and deal with it ourselves. You're setting yourself up for failure. But I feel good right now. You're setting yourself up for failure because it'll come back. But I have found when I've gone to God and I've turned them over to God, whatever that is, and I allow him to keep it, and I allow my trust in him that he will be there for me and give me strength to prevail, that I find that I will succeed in getting through that. So many times we want to handle it ourselves when God is saying, here I am. Here I am. Songs, and I can't remember all the wording of it, but it's paraphrased to this about, you know, bring your burdens and things, or bring things, your cares, bring them to the altar and just lay them there and leave them there. When you turn around to go back to your seat, when the service is over, you get in your car, you go home, you leave it there. In Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I sometimes wonder, I think it's just being human, guys, if we can cry with someone that's crying. When we know the hurt that has caused them to cry, that I can feel that in my own spirit because I'm human. And I know what a loss of life is. I know what a tragedy, the news. Every day, Ukraine, Turkey, and Syria with the earthquakes, pulling babies out from under rubbles. Thank God a few have been alive. A miracle happening. But I look at those things. When tragedies strike at our schools in this nation a few years back, I could be sitting at home and it comes on the news or whatever, I just begin to tear up. Because it's like I feel the pain of what the parents must be going through. That's not being sissy. That's not being a weak man. I think that's just saying I'm human. You know, the old adage is, I used to tell the guy, men don't cry. That's ridiculous. I always tell people when I've been to tragedy situations, I said, God will give you one of two things. You will either laugh at the tragedy or you will cry at the tragedy, but both of them are coping mechanisms that God has given you to release that whatever has hit you. People look at somebody laughing at a tragedy and they go, well, aren't they? Boy, those people. But that for them is how they cope. This one's laughing, this one's crying. You're looking at the difference here. It's just the way God put us together. New Century in 12:15 of Romans says, be happy with those who are happy. Be sad with those who are sad. Now we look at this and the help from God. Here's God showing up on the scene. You know, he's here. The Calvary's here. He's going to help us. In Psalms 34:18, New King James, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And he saves such as a contrite spirit or a crushed spirit. You can be a powerful witnessing agent for God. You can be a strong Christian, but something happens in a family situation, dynamics, a child, whatever the case is, of a death. And it could knock the socks off of you even. But you better go back to your first source, your first love, that of Christ. But he's here for that. It talks about that. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And he will save those that have a contrite or a crushed in their spirit. The Easy Read says, the Lord is close to those who have suffered disappointment. He saves those who are discouraged. If we would look around in the world of today, and just in America, Wisconsin, right in Rock County, Janesville, just get down to the very right where we're at. If people would cry out to that of God and allow God to come into those situations to help heal them and work through those things, will it be instant? Could be, but chances are it's going to be a work in progress. But we would have a much better society and how people are really there. We would get rid of a lot of medications per se, and there's nothing wrong with medications. You'll be on it for a while. It's whatever the case might be. It's not that. But it is kind of scary when certain people, and I've seen this when kids act up and all that, the first thing that happens, the parent or whatever tells the school, well, I'm going to go to a psychiatrist and have him put on medication. It's like, I don't know. If you need to, you need to. I'm not speaking against it, okay? I'm just saying, why is it always the first thing we want to do is medicate? I don't care if it's a child or an adult. Medicate them. Dumb them down. Okay, use the medication for a while, but then begin to go to God and say, Lord, I pray you will break this. I pray whatever the case, whatever it is. I'm just saying that as God is there for us, he's close to those who are suffering disappointments. He saves those that are discouraged. God is the answer to the problems that we all experience. The medication helps us get through it for a season. I'm not saying not to, but don't let it be the crutch. Because have you ever found that with man's ways, we can give you a medication to take care of this, and if you're on it for so long, guess what you got to do with that medication? Increase it. Because your body begins to build up tolerances to it. So they add a little bit more, right? A little bit more. Take another pill. Again, you follow those prescribed orders. I'm not saying not to. I'm not anti-medication. I took medication with my leg. I take medication for blood pressure and thyroid and stuff like that. I'm not saying negatively things about that. But we need to go to God because he's got the answer. Always talked about that at God. Like, well, God, if you can heal us, why do I have to still do this? Well, I haven't got the answer yet. Has anybody got their answer yet? But we stay on the path until God comes through or fulfills what he's got. It says here, we often wish we could escape troubles. The pain of grief, loss, sorrow, and failure, or even the daily frustrations that we encounter. Any one of these areas has a very real way of wearing us down. And that's what you'll find. As you go through sorrows and struggles like this, it'll just wear you down. God promises to be close to the brokenhearted. He is our source of power. He's our source of courage and wisdom. He's helping us through our problems. He's helping us through our hurts. When you're hurt, run to God, not away from him. In Psalms 14, or 147:3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Those wounds are sorrow. The New Century says this. I like this. He heals the brokenhearted. Okay, that's good. And bandages their wounds. We've all have bandages, haven't we? God understands you more than you understand yourself. Let God, or should I say, allow God to help you. Cry out to him. Share your feelings and your thoughts. Yell at God if you've got to. I've yelled at him when something's happened and I don't quite get it. Why, God? May not have given me the answer right away, even though I yelled out to him. But I yelled at him. It's okay. But let him take that hurt, that sorrow. When I looked at this, and bandages their wounds. We all know that bandages are used for a healing process. But like in the natural, that bandage will one day be removed and that you will be stronger after it. There will be a day when that bandage will be removed. That, you know, where he binds up my wound. One of these days I'll be able to pull that band-aid off. It's not to say you'll forget. It's not to say it was okay. It's not to say any of those things, but it's just to say that this wound, it's healed to this point. And there's a time that we have to take that bandage off. We know in the natural, if we leave a bandage on past its time, it'll actually start doing maybe bad things to us, you know, create more infection. You got to take the bandage off so the air gets into it, so it kills. Yeah, there's all, you look at the areas and healing of what God does in our spirit and ourselves, and this is all spiritual stuff, but I like to look at it in the natural to where I'm living it and actively act upon it each day. I can see where I can cut myself and my skin will regrow itself and that thing will soon be, the split will be grown together and 3 weeks later it's gone. Might be a little scar there, I don't know. But I think that same thing happens with God. As we surrender these things to Him, as we cry out for His help, as we cry out to let Him know, He already knows the pain and the hurt that you feel. But it's okay to let Him know, I have hurt and I have pain and I have this. But I believe with God, if we give Him time, that's the thing, give Him time, spend time with Him, give Him time, that eventually that will begin to heal itself to the point that I can move on. So there's times I got to take that Band-Aid off to let the air get to it. But I'm so thankful that He heals the brokenhearted and bandages our wounds. God understands what you're dealing with. God understands what is hurting you right now. God understands where you've come from. But you know what is even better than that? God knows where He wants to place you and what He has planned for you in the future. But He says, I've got to get you through this right now. Hey, come on, let's start looking ahead. Let's start looking down the road to see what's still planned for you to accomplish. Don't stay where you're at. Don't place a tent there and say, this is where I'm going and I'm not going any further. The enemy would love you to plant a tent here and stay all your life. God says, I've got it down there for you, my child. I've got it down there, my son, my daughter. Go to where I've got planned for you. And I will be with you along that journey. Don't give up. Don't give up. As we wrap this down to a few more things here, in 2 Corinthians, here's our part. So God does His part, right? He binds the brokenhearted, puts a bandage on it, heals, all these things. 2 Corinthians says this in 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all what? Comfort. Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. And here's our part, because somewhere down the road, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble, are in tribulations, with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. Isn't that great? That's like, you got to pay it forward, guys. If God's comforted you, you're going to comfort somebody else somewhere down the line. Just be ready. Just be sensitive and be listening to God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or our comfort also abounds through Christ. Tim, how can you be so comfortable or confident or whatever with all the things taking on in this world? Because this world, I don't know about you guys, but I am just a sojourn passing through this place. Yes, I've got an abode, and I got a mailbox, and I get all kinds of stuff, but I'm just passing through. I'm not resting here. This is not my permanent home. And I can look at the tragedies going on, and I can cry about those tragedies. I can pray about those tragedies. I can ask God to help those people in tragedies. But I've got to keep a strong look to Him, because I know it's Him in charge. Well, why is all these tragedies happening upon this earth if God is so good and God is so full of love? Well, ladies and gentlemen, at this point in time, the God of this world that we live in is Satan. God's word tells us that. The God of this world is Satan. God's word also says this, you will serve one or the other. You will either serve Him or you're going to serve Me. That's a very simplified way of God speaking, to where it's not a whole lot of gobbledygook in it. It's just like, you're either going to serve Him or Me. You hear a lot of people say, I'm not going to serve God. Well, then you're going to serve the devil. I'm not going to serve Him. Well, yes, you are. You know, as bullheaded as some people get, God's word is always true. The New Century Version of that same type of scripture says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father who is full of mercy and all comfort. He comforts us every time we have trouble. Now the thing is, for that to work, every time you have trouble, where do you have to go? To God. If you don't go to Him, He's not going to comfort you, because it's like, well, okay, you want to do it on your own? Do it on your own. But every time we have trouble, He comforts us every time we have trouble. So when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort that God has given us. We share in many sufferings of Christ. In the same way, much comfort comes to us through Christ. So here, many of us think that if we let God comfort us, our pain or our troubles, we should go away. Many of us think that if we let God comfort us, our pain or what troubles us should go away. If this did happen, then people would only turn to God when they desired what? For their hurt and their pain to be gone. How many people here would like to have people come to you only when they want something from you? Well, wait a minute. Some people are like that in life. Oh, I haven't seen you for 5 years, man. Where have you been? Hey, I've been doing this. Well, it's great to see you. Hey, what's going on? Hey, well, what I need is some of your help. What? I've been here for the last 5 years. You've lived down the street and you've not stopped by or called or nothing. You've not even text. Everybody gets text, right? And now that you want something, now I'm there. But if this only happened when people would only turn to God, only when they desired pain to be gone, it's not out of love for him. See, that's what it is. It's our love for him. It's our love for God, because God so loved us first that we have got to get to that point to say, God, I love you. I love you, Lord. It talks about if love is not in you, you're not of God. But it's not out of love for him. Sometimes comfort could be just receiving strength or encouragement and hope to deal with our troubles, knowing that the more we do suffer, the more God will provide even more comfort. Now, it's not an easy thing to speak on. And I'm not up here saying, oh, I can't wait for another trial and tribulation this week. But I know that they could possibly come, but when they do come, my source is going to God. Knowing that the more we do suffer, the more God will provide even more comfort. God wants us to pass along our comfort to others, just as he has comforted us during our times of suffering, our sorrow. Ultimately, the comfort that we provide is nothing more than what God provides to us or through us or what he did for us. This is getting back to the point, guys, that the church family is to be the church family. We need to be understanding of one another. We need to be compassionate with one another. We need to be forgiving with one another. We need to be there for one another. In Galatians, as I close, 6:2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What? I got enough of my own burdens. Really, God? I got to take on Janice's burden? Yep. Paul's burden? Oh, yeah. What about my burden? It talks somewhere in Scripture, I don't know exactly where, but it talks as we pray, that as we begin to pray for others, you'll find that your needs are taken care of by God, because God doesn't want you to focus on yourself, because he's telling me, hey, Tim, I got you. I got your back. But Janice needs prayer. Janice needs to hear from you. Janice needs encouragement. And I'm giving her encouragement, but she needs to hear it there, you know, through a person or whatever the case is, or Paul, whatever, any one of us. So I know that God has got my back, and I'm going through a struggle. I'm going through a situation. I'm lifting it up to him, yes. But I want to, more than anything else, I want to cover Vicky in prayer, and Alex and Andrea in prayer, and Doug and Terry, and all these here that I know, and those that aren't here that I know, and other people in my life that even don't come to this church. We'll wake up at night, and you just begin to pray for different people. You lift up their needs because there's something. I'm going to tell you, when God lays a person on your heart, you better, before you do anything else, better lift that person up in prayer. Because God is saying, I want you to pray for this child. I want you to pray for this person. I want you to pray. I don't even know him. Whatever this is, pray. Okay, Lord. And I'll say, I don't even want to pray. You don't need to know what to pray. God just brings the person to mind. Joe Smith. Pray for Joe Smith. This is the person I met. Okay. I don't know what he needs. That's okay. Lord, right now, you laid Joe on my mind. I don't know what he's going through. I don't know what his family is going through, but I place him before you, and I ask you, Lord, to come into that situation. If he's looking for guidance, I ask you to guide him. If he's looking for strength, I ask you to strengthen him. If he's asking for healing, I ask you to heal him. Amen. Was that hard? Did I have to call Joe Smith and say, hey, God woke me up at 1 o'clock in the morning with you on my mind, and I call him up at 8 o'clock? What's going on? No. God is using you as a vessel here to get his word across or to help those around you. It's kind of exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting to think that God? Tim? Yep. Pray for Sally's Sally Smith. I don't even know her. I don't know. Just pray for her. Okay, Lord, you're an agent of his here in this earth. He thinks so highly of you. He's seen you in the past be a prayer warrior. He's seen you in the past pray. He says, I got somebody there that I can contact. They don't even know the person that close. They don't even know what's going on. But I know, God says, that I can lay it upon his heart, and by that of the Spirit, he will at least lift it up. Oh, Lord, thank you for using me, Lord. Wow. That's exciting. That makes you vibrant. That makes you part of this whole process here upon this earth while we're here. You're not here just to have more cheese curds and concretes and stuff, okay? But we're here to do the phenomenal, the miraculous, the mightiness of God's work upon this earth. Through us little vessels. I poke myself there, I bleed. I'm fragile. I'm a fragile guy. I'm fragile. But God expects great and mighty things from me because it's him working through this fragile vessel of earthen clay. I love serving God. I love him. Mighty work of in my life over the last 25 years. Awesome. Okay. God loves you, and he's got an assignment for you. Listen for it and be ready to go. With God, I'm here, Lord. Send me. I'm here to be used by you, Lord, whatever it is. Because my faith and trust in God is this. I'll tell you this, that if he sends me, he will prepare me. If he uses you, he will put himself in you. If you don't know what to say, he will put words in you to speak at the right time to the right person, and it'll be great. All you got to do is disconnect your head, let your heart be open to the Spirit of God, and God will use you mightily. This doesn't make sense. Well, no, it doesn't make sense. It tells you in his word that God will confound the wise, and he'll allow the foolish to do great and wonderful things. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. New Living, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. There's many things that we deal with that I can honestly say I will carry that and help you, but it's kind of impossible for me to completely take it from you to say, here, I'll take it from you. You will never have another pain or an ache anymore. That would be foolishness of me to say. But I will bear that burden. I will bear that hurt. It's not a burden. But it is a burden. But it's as we're looking at burdens in life. But I will walk with you as much as I can. And I will carry anything that I can to help you with that, with anybody's loss of tragedies, whatever it might be, big or small. Because my thing is this: we will get through this. We will have a completion on this journey. I will not allow the enemy to have a win. You got to get pretty staunch in your stand to sit there and say, I will stand, and when God's word tells us to do what? When all else fails, do what? Stand. And when that fails, do what? And if it fails again, do what? We do a lot of standing. We don't do retreating. We stand until we get the power, till we get that energy, until we get that breakthrough, whatever the case is, and then we do what? We advance. You cannot advance on your knees. Well, if you're praying, that's okay. Okay, you've got to always think about those things. They could be taken the wrong way. You'll never advance laying down. You'll never advance huddled and scared to move. Sometimes when you begin to advance, you've got to advance when the enemy thinks that he's got you down and you're not getting up and you're not going to be able to go forward. That's when you've got to allow God to get into you and that spirit inside of you, that dunamis power with the Holy Spirit, and you get up and you rise, and you put your chin up in the air and you say, I am going on to whatever God has for me to do. And the enemy, the devil, is not going to succeed. He's not going to win. He's going to lose this battle. Because that's not my battle and the Lord's battle. Hallelujah. So I say all these things very boastful, not because it's me, because remember, I'm a very meek, mild person. But God is my God. Well, now wait a minute. The word does say that we're meek. But remember when that meaning of meek in the word of God is this, that we have power, but it's under control. I've got power. I'm a very meek person, but it's under control to where you can lash it out or let it go when it needs to go. And that's what it's all about with God. Amen? You don't need to fight your battle. The battle is his. The devil's defeated. We have to remind him a lot of times, you're defeated, get out of here. Get behind me. So each of us here today, I hope, realizes that we, at one time or another, need or even require help from others. The person next to you may be needing your help even today. The body of Christ, the church, functions only when the members work together for the common good. There could be a brother or a sister in Christ that needs correction or encouragement. If so, you can reach out gently. And that's what it is. We gently reach out with a loving spirit to that person that God has entrusted to bring hope and encouragement to that one needing that support. Be honored that God has used you. Be honored that God will use you to help with someone's situation. Not that you've got the answer. You might have the answer, but it's by that of God. But that God is there using you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, as we hear today, hear from your word about how you help us to get through tragedies and situations in our life, that you put in us the ability to help others around us, Lord, to work through those same situations. But Lord, as I read through it all, I find that it is you working in every area of it. And I thank you for that. And so I pray for everyone here today that, Lord, oh Father, we thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for always being there for us. And that I ask in my Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.